and heaven opened. When I was a younger man, many years ago, we used to sing a little chorus. Heaven come down, heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. There at the cross, my Savior made me whole. My light has turned today, my night has turned today. My sins are washed away. Heavens came down, and glory filled my soul. Last Wednesday night, heaven came. Oh boy, did it come. Barbara and I have both been working on some teachings along the line of open heavens. She was scheduled last Wednesday night to teach along that line, and she was preempted by the Holy Spirit, and she never got up here. We just stayed in the Spirit and worshiped God. But in following these themes, both of us following these same theme the last several weeks about heavens being opened, we're realizing some things that maybe we've overlooked before about open heavens. One of those things is that heaven's always open. We tend to, you know, leave a good service and say, boy, heaven came down tonight. Man, the Lord opened the heavens and the glory just came down. And yeah, well, yeah. But, you know, heaven is always open. I want to take as a lead text of Scripture to Genesis number 28. I'm going to be using the New King James this morning for sake of our transparencies, our Scripture on the screen. Let's go to Genesis 28, verse 10. Everybody here probably been to church often and enough that you've heard about Jacob's ladder. Ever hear about Jacob's ladder? Raise your hand if you haven't heard about Jacob's ladder. You haven't heard about Jacob's ladder. Raise your hand. Okay, this is good. You're going to hear about it this morning. It's a beautiful account of something that the Lord did in Jacob's day. Now, everybody knows Abraham and then Isaac and then Jacob. Well, Jacob was Abraham's grandson. And we're going to start in verse 10 of chapter 28. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba, and he went towards Haran. So he came to a certain place, and he stayed there all night because the sun had set. Well, that's a pretty good reason to stay all night, isn't it? And he took one of the stones of that place, and he put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. And then he dreamed. And behold, a ladder. Okay, here you go, guys. Here's Jacob's ladder. Behold, a ladder in the dream. A ladder was set up on the earth. Now, where did he see it first? On the earth. And the top, its top, the ladder's top, reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were what? Ascending, because it was first seen on the earth, and descending. Now, it's interesting here that he realized that things were going up. The angels were going up before he saw them coming down. And in the dream, the angel was, the ladder was set on the earth rather than one coming down from heaven. It was set on the earth and went to heaven. Now, the Holy Spirit is talking to us along this line this morning because he wants us to quit waiting for heaven to open and come down. He wants us to set a ladder on the earth that reaches to heaven. And as the angels of God or the messengers of the gospel, he wants us to be going up towards him rather than waiting for him to come down towards us. The ladder is set first on the earth, going to heaven. And the first movement on it is us going up into the heavenlies to receive from the Lord and then coming back down to spread the word. And so I begin to study and meditate on this particular scripture, and I begin to see that there is a certain pattern, and it follows through throughout the Bible. There was this pattern of when people worshiped God, they ascended into the heavens. When people worshiped God, they had revelation of the Word. When they worshiped God, they had revelation of God's will for their life. Now, there are times, okay? There are times in the Scripture example where heaven, so to speak, burst wide open and the glory of God shone down and interrupted what was going on earth, okay? Paul the Apostle, well, before he was Paul, he was Saul the persecutor of the church. And then he got converted and he became Apostle Paul. Well, and before his conversion, Saul was on his way to Damascus and heaven opened up and a bright light shone upon him and blinded him. Knocked him down on the ground. But what was his response? For you who have read this account in the book of Acts, his response was, Jesus, is that you? He knew it was the Lord. He said, Lord, he called out on Jesus. It's because when heaven opens, the will of God is known. And when heaven opens, Jesus is made manifest. And the emphasis is on Jesus. The purpose for the heavens to open or to be open in our behalf is that we might see God and respond to Him. Amen. Now let's read on a little bit. Verse 13. Now where Jacob says, "And behold, the Lord stood above it," stood above the ladder. "And the Lord said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. And also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed," by the way, that seed became Jesus. "And in your seed," or in Jesus, "all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Whoa. Verse 15, God goes on to tell him, "I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go. And I'll bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." And then Jacob awoke from his sleep. Dream's over. He wakes up and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it." And I've noticed something. When we experience the glory of God from the openness of heaven, when heaven opens, when the glory descends, or when we worship God and rise up into that glory and into that open heaven, all of a sudden we're like, this is God. This is God Himself. You see, when we, let's just bring it down to where the rubber meets the road, okay? Right down here, in a real simple term. Ever feel goosebumps in church? Now, we think that's pretty sweet, isn't it? There's warm fuzzies, you know, isn't that sweet? Well, you could say like Jacob, "Wow, God is here, and I didn't even realize it." The devil didn't give you those goosebumps. So God must have come on the scene and laid His hand on your shoulder and began to whisper sweet nothings in your ear. That's where those warm fuzzies come from. Surely God is in this place, and I didn't even realize it. And God is so with us and so surrounding us and so wanting to touch us, so wanting to breathe upon us. And He wants us to wake up to the fact that He's here. The Apostle James wrote, "Draw nigh to God, draw close to God, and He'll draw close to you." What was the first move? It was ours. Whose was the first move? Ours. Draw close to God. He'll come close to you. There was a prophecy that was even a prophecy duplicated. Spoke two or three different times on Wednesday night. The Lord kept saying, "Worship me and I'll come to your house." Think about that. You have needs in your house? Your house being your children, your spouse, your family. Do you have needs? Do they have needs? Would you like a visit from God to fix some stuff? Come on, would you like a visit from God to fix some stuff? Well, He kept speaking to us by the spirit of prophecy Wednesday night, and He said, "Worship me and I'll come to your house." If you don't take anything else home with you today, take that home. Worship God and He'll come to your house. And brother, when God shows up and knocks on your door and you let Him in, everything changes. Would you excuse me while I take off my jacket? Everybody say yes. I've gotten so fat I can't hardly reach around my backside to get on my sleeve. But that's all right. I'm happy. This spare tire around my middle is evidence of God's blessing upon my life. I have great desire for heaven to open. And I keep hearing God, the Holy Spirit, say, "I have great desire for you to realize that heaven's already open. Come on up, baby. Come on up here, son. The door's open." Ooh. Spiritually speaking, we need to find Jacob's ladder over in the worship department. We need to climb up. Oh, yes. The door's open. The door's open. I want to take you to the New Testament for a minute in Mark 15, 38. And just look a little bit about when that door opened. Mark 15, 38. Now, the heavens have opened, but it could be that they have also had times of being closed. In the day of Moses, the Holy Spirit was working through Moses in a mighty way and through the people of Israel. And they had a place of worship They called it a tabernacle, tabernacle of Moses. He had a place of worship, and it had three different categories. It had the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. And then in this Holy of Holies, the very presence of God stayed there. It was just there. The presence of God hovered over the mercy seat, which was the cover of the Ark of the Covenant, the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. And God's presence stayed in this, and it was just a small little cuartito, a small little room. And it was separated from the outside world and separated from the other courts of the temple by a very thick 4-inch curtain. Now, I don't know anything about weaving. You know. Not the mic. There's something happening. We lost it. I'm going to have to come back there. Rancher who was also he was from, I believe, the Isleta Pueblo, which is a group of tribal people over close to Albuquerque, south of Albuquerque, and he would weave blankets, and we'd go up to Louis's house and we'd watch him weave, and they'd run these strings of wool, you know, back and forth through all the strings and the loom, you know, you've heard about the loom, you know, the machine that apparatus that pull the weave together, and it's fascinating to watch. It's a very slow process. Very time-consuming, and those who make an art of it can end up with some of the most beautiful pieces of, like, blankets, the usually thick wool blanket, so to speak. Well, this ark, this presence of God was separated by 4 inches of woven material. That's a heavy-duty curtain. The thing would have weighed several hundred pounds, if you can imagine that kind of a curtain. And God's presence was in there. And the people of God had various processes where they could benefit from that in their worship, but they never did really know the sweet personal presence of God, like those few priests who could go in once a year and partake of worship inside that holy place. Well, that temple was still staying, not Moses' temple, so to speak, but the temples that had followed it, the more permanent temples that had followed Moses' tent tabernacle, they were still in place in Jerusalem in the day, Jesus' day, years later, hundreds of years later. And when Jesus died upon the cross, we know the story. When he died upon the cross, that 4-inch woven curtain that 50 horses wouldn't be able to tear apart, that 4-inch woven curtain was ripped in half, supernaturally, just ripped, like a piece of paper, from the top to the bottom, just ripped. And from that moment to this, God's presence hasn't been contained in any room. But we as the New Testament church have access to the Father. Did you ever find that scripture? Here I already told you what the scripture already said, right? Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. What this is saying to us is that now we have access to heaven, to God and His presence. And there's no excuse for us to come to church and say, boy, that was a boring message. Oh, that was a boring service. Oh, I didn't like the way she sang that last song. Did you notice this about him or that about her? There's no excuse for that sort of attitude. When we come together to worship God, we are to get so lost in worship that we enter in where the veil has been torn and we enter into the very presence of God freely and begin to partake of His glory and His presence. Oh. If there's anything I've learned in many, many years of experience and watching people and seeking God for my own personal life, if there's anything I've learned, it is that you, to find that holy place, to find that place that feeds your soul, you've got to forget about you and everybody else and get lost in worship. If you stand here and you're worshiping God, and every couple of minutes, I wonder who's here today. Worship begun. I wonder who's here today. Worship of God, and there's a baby crying. I know there's going to be some distractions, not just in church. There's going to be some distractions in your personal prayer closet at home. About the time you think you're touching God or getting into that open heaven or getting where the glory of God's really ready to bring you some answers, the phone will ring or somebody will knock on the door or you'll have a stupid thought like, I got to get that shirt ironed. Huh? There are going to be some distractions. I don't care where you seek God. But you've got to forget about the stuff that really doesn't matter. And you've got to get lost in worship and just focus on Jesus and let the glory of God and worship of God just raise you up higher and higher and higher as you climb Jacob's ladder higher and higher and higher until you are in heaven itself. Hallelujah. And you can't do it enough. You're going to get addicted. And you're going to want to do it every day, and you're going to want to do it all day. And someday you'll be so fanatical, but you'll be like the Apostle Paul that says, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Oh, another way to say walk in the Spirit is walk in an attitude of worship all day long. And I believe I can safely say by the Word of God that there's no man ever sinned while he was worshiping God. Everybody still with me? Everybody say, heaven's open, and I'm going in. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4, please. Hebrews 4, 14. Hebrews coffee and Shebrews tea. Hebrews 4, 14. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Are you ready? Did we find that? We found it. I'm going to read it off the screen. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Anybody know who the high priest is? Jesus. Seeing then we do have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Move on, two more verses. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Next verse. Let us, therefore, come with great timidity and fear and trembling knees to the throne of grace. Did I mess up? Well, let's read it like God wants us to hear it. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, boldly to the throne of grace, boldly to the throne of grace. Why? I'm about to get happy. That we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Because the temple veil of the temple was rent in two pieces. And because now access is totally open to the presence of God, we can in all boldness approach the throne of God. And somebody's saying, but preacher, my feet are dirty, my hands are dirty, my mind is dirty. Preacher, I don't think I want to get that close to God. And I'm going to look at his throne from a distance, but I don't want to crawl up there next to him. I'm just human, you know. I want all of us to get so hungry for God that we forget we're human. And we realize by the Word of God and the revelation of His Spirit that we are covered in the precious blood of the Lamb, and there can be no dirt, no sin, no ugly. There can be nothing defiling us if we are covered in the blood, because the blood is more than enough. It's bigger than enough. It's more powerful than enough. The blood of Jesus Christ has got me cleaned up. I bet you still sin once in a while. Yeah, and then I just get down under the blood again and take a bath. I shower in the blood every day. If you're not showering in the blood every day, you're dirty, brother. Because everybody sins every day, one way or the other. Oh, it's just a little sin. It didn't really count. Good luck. You better go take a shower. The Apostle John says he's faithful and he's just to forgive us of our sins. So all you got to do is turn on the shower and by faith accept the cleansing of the blood. And then you can with all boldness say, where's that throne? I have somebody I want to talk to. My daddy's on that throne and I need my daddy. I'm needing some answers real bad and I need to talk to daddy about this. I got something going on in my life and needs daddy's help. Where's that throne? Because that veil was rent in two pieces, the throne room is open. Begin to worship him and rise up. Begin to worship him and rise up. Begin to worship him and rise up. Begin to worship him and rise up until you feel that presence of God on that throne and say, sir, thank you for being here for me. Hold everything. We're going back to Genesis 1. I just got to bring this up. If you've read Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, you're going to hear some things you've already heard before. But if you haven't read it, please read it. Not right now. Wait till you get home. But the earth was in a mess. Anybody watch the news? I'm telling you, back in Genesis 1, the earth was the news wouldn't have carried it. It was too rated. It was too rated R and rated X and beyond that, rated XYZ. The Bible says the earth was in chaos, ultimate chaos, and without form and without void. No life whatsoever. Well, but God, he said, I'm going to clean that up. He spent 7 days cleaning house. A few hundred years later, a guy named Noah is born. And lo and behold, the earth is almost as bad as it was in the beginning. The Bible says that man's heart and thoughts was on evil continually. All people could think about was how to do something against the grace of God. All they could think about was, what can I do to make this sin feel better? The whole earth. The Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Had one old boy out of millions, ever how many there were in that time. One old boy serving God. God said, that's enough. We'll clean house. Yeah, things can get in a mess in your life too. Look at somebody and say, ask them that question. Is your life messed up? God can handle it. He handled it on the first day of creation, and he handled it in Noah's day. He's going to handle it again. This earth belongs to the Lord. He's not giving it up to the devil. Belongs to the Lord. He started it. He's going to finish it. And he's going to keep cleaning house until he gets it clean and keeps it clean. And man gets his act together and stays clean. And we've got a future to look forward to, and it's bright. But there's going to be some house cleaning. And if you're dirt, your future's not bright. You get swept away. But if you're clean by the blood of Jesus and you're worshiping God and you're on the side of God, things are going to look good for you. Oh, but preacher, I saw the news on that other channel, and it's worse than you think. Yeah, I guess God better give up. I don't think he can handle it this time. Let's just go to 2 Peter chapter 3, just for the fun of it. You don't mind doing something for the fun of it, do you? 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to take a drink of water. Praise the Lord for good water. Did I find it yet? Here I am, 2 Peter chapter 3. Why don't we just read the first 15 verses? How about that? Will that work? 2 Peter chapter 3. Beloved, now I write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, saying, where's the promise of his coming? For all, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And for this they willingly forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Now this was not Noah's flood, this was the flood that put earth in chaos in Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us. Somebody ought to say amen. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening, everybody say, looking for and hastening, the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which dwelleth righteousness. Therefore, beloved, looking forward, looking where? Now, if I'm looking forward to the meal that Jasmine's going to fix for me, I'm excited and anxious. Looking forward to these things, what things? Everything getting burned up. looking forward to these things. So be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Under the blood of Jesus, the only place you're going to find that spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Okay, let's stop with that. Peter had no fear of the future. He says, it's such a mess, it's just going to have to burn. Oh, God, help us. What are we going to do now? Oh, God, help us. What did he do? He said, bring it on. I'm ready for some new earth and some new heaven. You see, he was fireproof. Anybody remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Fireproof. Remember Daniel in the lion's den? Lionproof. Noah in the flood? Waterproof. If you get in the spirit of worship like Peter was in the spirit of worship and rise up to where God's glory is flooding your life, you're going to say, I don't care how bad it gets. Bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on. Because I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward. Next time your knees are trembling and you don't want to look forward, you need to get in the Bible. Jesus talked about bad times happening and he said, look up, look up, look up, look up. Look up, look up. Peter talks about bad times happening and he said, I'm looking forward, looking forward, looking forward. Come on, let's get this rolling. You have nothing to fear when you're covered in the blood of Jesus. Well, how did I get off on that? Why don't we go back again to Genesis? You know, you don't need to turn there. I'm just going to talk a little bit. In Genesis chapter 5, we found a man named Enoch. Enoch, you know, like he knock on the door, only this is Enoch. You know, email, Enoch, or something like that. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. Do you know what that meant? He and God had something going together. They visited. They visited like father and son. It said Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. All of a sudden, I can just see it like this. You don't mind if I see it like this. Enoch and God walking along. God's standing right here, okay? He's a little bit taller than I am. How's it been going up there in heaven, God? Things looking good? You say the angels made a new song. Boy, I want to hear that. Hey, God, how's my grandma doing? Boy, I miss her. I miss her. She said she sends her best. Well, thank you, God. Man, this is good. Boy, Lord, I just love it so much when you come down and visit with me. I just love it when I get in the spirit of worship and I raise up to the top of that ladder and I just see God. Lord, it's just so good to be with you and to visit with you. Lord, it's just so awesome. Tell me some more about heaven. Tell me some more about paradise. And that beautiful, beautiful place where you live. And they do this day after day. And it just gets richer and sweeter. And one day God says, hey, Enoch, it's about time for me to go. He looks at his Rolex. God wears a Rolex. He looks at his Rolex. He said, Enoch, it's time for me to go. I'm going to go whip up on some devils. Enoch said, man, I wish I could go with you. I'm looking forward to the day I can go with you. God says, I tell you what, we've gotten pretty close with these visits. Why don't you just come go home with me today? And they just walked into up the ladder and into heaven. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Heaven came down and Enoch got to go home early. You can't do anything but win when it comes to worshiping God. Do y'all remember Joseph? No, you don't. He was born thousands of years ago. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then Joseph, next to the youngest sons of Jacob. He was a dreamer. He had spiritual dreams. And his brothers didn't like it. Even his mom and dad didn't really like it. It's like these spiritual dreams. He's just a dreamer. He's always coming up with this spiritual stuff. He's so spiritual, he's no earthly good. And the brothers got tired of it and they bound him up and sold him to some slavers and sent him to Egypt. He ends up in Egypt going through some different things and he ends up in jail under false accusation. Anybody ever been there? And he's in jail under false accusation. And God gave him another one of those spirit dreams. And it was prophetic and got back to Pharaoh, who was in a mess. You know, it seems like whenever things in a mess, God sends his man. And things are getting to be in a mess. Yeah, I know. But God's going to send his man. God's going to send his man. I say God's going to send his man. And Peter's looking forward to that, and I am too. You see, Joseph's dreams and the interpretation of these dreams by the Holy Spirit saved God's people. These dreams were helping him find access to the heavens. Heaven opened up. Moses. I love to say it like that because that's the way Charleston Heston's movie was, you know. He comes to the burning bush and he hears this voice of God, Moses. I love that movie. Sometimes I fast forward to that part. Things were in a mess. God's people, the chosen folk, the ones that were supposed to be in praise and worship on Sunday night, God's folk were all bound up in Egypt in a mess. In a mess. They were in a mess. There was such a mess that innocents were dying by the multitudes. But God sent his man. You got innocents dying by the multitudes today. God's going to send his man. Moses found the open heavens in a burning bush of all places. Out there in the middle of the desert where you can't even hardly find a bush. And here God's burning the only bush. He goes running up to that bush. God, what are you doing? It's the last bush on earth. Everybody's okay, right? You happy? When you get to heaven, you can ask Moses how it really was. In the meantime, I'm going to play with it. Heaven opened at that burning bush. And God said, Moses, you're on holy ground, brother. You better take your shoes off because you want to get your flesh real close to this holy ground and get it cleaned up. You don't want anything man-made between you and me. You don't want anything man-made or any dead animal leather between you and the holy ground. He takes off his sandals. You know, they all wore sandals in those days because they didn't know how to make cowboy boots. Oh, he just got his feet into that holy ground. I want to put my feet in the holy ground, Reuben. I want to feel that holy sand tickling up between my toes. I want to feel goosebumps on my toes. I want to feel warm fuzzies on my toes. And so we take off anything man-made or any dead animal skin, any fleshly thing, take it off. Take it off. Take it off and just worship God. I love it. I love it when a lot of our girls, during the summer, they come up to praise and worship and they take their shoes off. I just love that. I just love it. It reminds me of what Moses did on holy ground, took his shoes off. Moses goes on and heaven came down, and when he's up on Mount Sinai getting the Ten Commandments, heaven came down and glory filled his face. He went back down off the mountain and the people put a veil over his face. Talk about bright eyes. Talk about a bright countenance. He had been up on the mountain. Now, God could have come down to the valley, but he wanted Moses up on the mountain. Now, there's times when God comes down on the valley, but we remember today about, you know, Jacob's ladder from the earth up and those ascending up before they come down. And, you know, God wants us to worship him, to go up. He wants us to rise up, and he wants us to rise up to the open heaven. He doesn't want to have to come down and remind us and interrupt us every 30 minutes that he's wonderful. He wants us to seek him out by rising up. Everybody remembers Elijah. The Lord got ready to take him to heaven. He's with his right-hand man, Elisha, and a chariot of fire. Like that burning bush wouldn't burn up. Well, God's chariots of fire, they don't burn up either. A chariot of fire and horses of fire come swooping down out of heaven and separated the two prophets. And all of a sudden, Elijah, the first one, the older one, Elijah does Pecos Bill. Raise your hand if you know what Pecos Bill did. Where did you go to school? Pecos Bill was famous for riding whirlwinds and roping tumbleweeds. Pecos Bill didn't ride a horse, he rode a whirlwind. You didn't read that story? What kind of stories did your mama tell you anyhow? See, my mama was a hick from the sticks, and she told me the real stories. You probably heard the three little pigs or something. Elijah caught a whirlwind and rose up in the glory. We're going to move on quickly. Everybody say, quickly, quickly. It's almost Christmas. Hurry up. Heaven's opened up for the Virgin Mary, and she conceived a son by the Holy Spirit. And she said her famous words, "Let it be unto me according to your word, Lord." She gave up all earthly ambition, all ambition of her future, and said, "Lord, whatever you want." Heaven opened up for Mary's earthly husband, Joseph. He begins to receive spiritual dreams that warn and protect the Holy Family and the infant Jesus. Heaven opens up. God sends his man. Heaven is opened up and the will of God is known. Heaven's opened up for Jesus when he received his water baptism, and a spirit dove descends down on him, and his heavenly Father speaks and says, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." Oh, talk about things a mess. In that day when Jesus was baptized in water, that Israel, God's people, the nation of Israel, was in a horrible mess. It was almost like Genesis 1. Chaos. Innocents were dying by the multitudes. The Roman government and the Roman Empire had taken over the nation. And taxation was out through the roof. And it's just horrible, horrible things were happening to really good people. It was a horrible mess. God sent his man. And he's going to send his man again. Bring it on! I want to see the man. Heaven opened up for Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. That's found in Matthew 17 and again in Mark. Jesus is transfigured before him and he becomes white. So white that you couldn't even look at him. Talk about Moses' face. Jesus' whole person was like that. Peter didn't know what to do or say. He said, "Well, let's just build 3 tabernacles and let's just all stay here." Every once in a while, we'll have a really good service here where everybody rises up to the top of Jacob's ladder. And we just say, "Let's just stay here." Oh, hallelujah. I need to move on. The roast is burning. Peter, everybody say Peter. He was the New Testament church's lead man, but he was all bound up by religious legalism. And he wouldn't break loose from the law of Moses and minister to the Gentiles as God had wanted him to. And heaven opened up and Peter got over in the spirit. The Bible called it in Acts chapter 15, I believe it is, said he was in a trance, a spirit trance. He got in the spirit. And God gave him visions and revelations of how he was to let down his guard and drop his religious ideals and get out there where the people were hurting and start ministering, no matter what race or color they were. Heaven opened up and the will of God was revealed. Worship God, he'll come to your house. Worship God, he'll reveal his will for you. Worship God, he'll show you Jesus. The Apostle John in Revelation chapter 1. I'm going to read that one. Let's go to Revelation 1, verse 9 and 10. In fact, take me to Revelation 1, 9, and we're going to read all the way through to 18. We'll go from 9 to 18. "I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit." Where was he? Where was he? Where was he? He was in the Spirit. He was in worship. He was in worship. He got lost. He didn't know he was on the aisle. He didn't know he was in exile. He didn't know he didn't have a McDonald's next door. He didn't know nothing but Jesus, and that's all that mattered. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. "And I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, 'I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what do you see? Write in a book and send it to the 7 churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, to Laodicea.'" Ooh, big words. "Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands. And in the midst of the 7 lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded about with a chest, about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair, head and hair were like white wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, and it was refined in a furnace. His voice was the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp 2-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying, 'Do not be afraid, I'm the first and the last. And I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades," or hell, "and of death.'" What happened when heaven opened? He saw the Lord. What happened when he saw the Lord? He fell on his face and worshiped. I'm telling you, folks, when the heavens open, and when we rise to where he wants us to rise and worship, we rise and worship and find our face on the floor. Talk about God's opposites. Raise your feet, please. Talk about God's opposites. He brings us up to lay us down. And he lays us down to bring us up. Talking about things getting rough. In John's day, it was so rough that they took him, the chief apostle, and exiled him to an island out in the Mediterranean Sea. Things were rough. They were killing Christians right and left. They were killing Christians by the thousands. They were crucifying them. They were putting them on stakes, on sticks, sharp sticks, and burning their bodies while they were still alive. They were cutting their heads off. Things were rough. But what happened to the man who got lost in worship? He saw Jesus, and nothing else mattered. And I don't know how rough it's going to be. It's already really rough in some places. And it'll probably get a lot rougher in a lot more places. But if we get lost in worship, bring it on. I want to see Jesus. Let's get this thing wound up, settled up, finalized, and get a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, help us to learn to develop our worship to the point where we can forget of ourselves and forget of everyone around us and forget of the cares of life. Help us, Lord, to realize the importance of getting lost in worship. Lord, from Genesis to Revelation, we see perfect examples of what happened when heaven opened up. And along with that, we see the perfect examples of those who rose up into the heavens through worship and adoration of God. And Lord, we see it all comes out good. No matter how rough things were, no matter how big of a mess you had to come and clean up, things were good for those that were in worship. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. For those that found the grace of God, for those that found the faith of God, for those that found an eternal commitment to serve Christ, for those that were found in worship and praise and adoration of your glorious name, everything turned good. Help us, Jesus, to seek your face like never before. Help us to seek your face with all of our hearts, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our being. Let everything that is within me and everything I shall ever be or become be that that searches the heart of God in the spirit realm. Jesus, call on him, folks. Jesus, come to my house. Call on him. Call on him. You need help in your house. Begin to worship him right now. Lord, you said by the mouth of the prophet, you said clearly, worship me and I'll come to your house. Lord, I worship you this morning because I need you in my house. I worship your glorious name today because I need you in my house. Lord, my babies need you. My family needs you. My spouse needs you. Lord, that bunch over that lives in my house, they need you really bad. And Lord, I'm going to worship you until you flood the place. I'm going to worship you until you flood the place and wipe out and wash out all the evil. I'm going to worship you until you burn the place and burn up all the evil. Because I'm looking forward to a house and a family and a household wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, to my house. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Oh, that we might rise up, rise up, rise up, rise up, rise up. In worship. Lord, for all those times like Jacob, when we say, oh my God, Jesus was here and I didn't even realize it. God was here and I didn't even realize it. Jacob said, this is none other than Bethel, the house of God. Oh Lord, how many times have you been in my house and I didn't even realize it? How many times have you been knocking on my heart's door and I didn't even realize it? Lord, you were here, you were in the place and I didn't even realize it. Oh, help me to get over into worship and get joined together with you in the Spirit that I might know the will of God, that I might see Jesus, that I might know which way to turn and what to pursue and what to turn loose of. Lord, I worship you today. Come to my house, sir. You are welcome. Everybody say, Jesus is welcome at my house. And I'm going to welcome him with worship. Yes. Yes. Take somebody by the hand and just take them by the hand and pray for them. Say, Lord, help this person in my hand to develop a lifestyle of worship. Let that be the prayer for all of us, for one another. Lord, that we would develop a lifestyle of worship. Develop a lifestyle of worship. Develop out of habit and out of the call of God, a lifestyle of worship, that we'll learn to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We'll walk in the Spirit, walk in worship, and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lord, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Are you hungry for Jesus? Are you hungry for the Holy Ghost? Are you hungry? Are you hungry for what heaven has to offer? Worship Him. He'll fill you up. He'll feed you. Worship Him. He'll give you drink. Worship Him. Worship Him. He'll make things right. He'll come to your house and fix things. Doesn't matter how chaotic it is, He'll come to your house and fix things. We love you, Jesus. You're so sweet. Lord, I pray that you go home with these people today. Lord, that they will take you by the arm and escort you to their house today. Because, Lord, they've come to worship and they have worshiped and they do worship. And you said, Lord, you don't lie. You said, worship me and I'll go to your house. So, Lord, I visualize by the Spirit everybody taking you by the arm today and taking you home with them. Folks, I want you to walk into your house today with Jesus on your arm. You might even want to open the door and let Him go in first. Be polite. Everybody say this. Say, I will worship Jesus and take Him home with me. He said He would never leave us, never forsake us. Enjoy that. For you who can come back tonight at 6 o'clock, as Nina said in the announcement, it won't be formal or in some kind of a box. We're just going to come to seek the face of God. Get lost in worship. Let God fix some things. Amen. Give a big hug and a kiss to about 50 people. Tell them you love them, appreciate them, and respect them. Have a great week. We love you.